That was helpful to you, just to get to know us a little bit more. And of course, the intention behind it, yes, to get to know us, but of course that you would pray for us. You've seen us, I trust that that's been a help, just to lock that in your memories. You've heard something about us, and there's something there you can pray for us as a family as we go to Uganda. Just to reiterate some of the things that were mentioned there by way of prayer requests. Do pray for us as we set about what we believe the Lord has us in Uganda to do. And that's going to be, God willing, to help church plant there in the local community. You've seen a lot of the pictures of the community that we'll be going to there. And I'll say a little bit about what that community is like in a moment. But that's really what we want to go and do. We want to search out that area, and we need the Lord's help to do that and find that place where he would have a church plant. And so pray for us concerning that. Of course, there is the ministries that are already there. And so you can imagine we're going to be busy as soon as our feet hits the ground. Mr. Kerskaden is already very busy in ministries, and we'll mention those ministries in a moment. So we will be assisting, as we said, with those ministries as well. But ultimately, we want to get out there to evangelize and search out this church plant. So pray concerning that. One of the hindrances we will meet in doing that will be the language, of course. And so again, I'm just putting that out there as a very specific prayer request to have those conversations, those deep conversations within the villages, and to get to the root of the heart of the people. We need the language to do that. You can imagine what it's like even in English, having deep conversations with people. It's difficult enough. But you imagine adding that, an interpreter to that. And you might look at the video and say, well, you've got an interpreter and they're good interpreters. Why do you not just do that and skip the language? Well, it's not ideal in the long term. We have to really understand the people that we're seeking to reach. And to do that, you need to speak to them, and you need to speak to them in their own language. So there's no shortcut to learning that language. You'll understand it's going to take time and a lot of it. It's going to take a lot of work. So pray that the Lord will just give us the strength, the mental capacity to do it, but also the grace. It is a spiritual exercise we're involved in. That's why we're doing it. So pray that the Lord will help in all those aspects. And the community itself, sometimes a question is asked, well, what's it like there in terms of religion? Well, if you were to go to the villages that were up on the slides there, you'll know just going between those villages. In one village, and it's about a mile up the road from the school, there's a little mosque. So that's a little Muslim community there. Then you go another mile and a half or so, and there's a Roman Catholic church there. And you go in another direction, the place I was at there, if you remember, I was preaching in open air. That's just, Noreen says, it's a dark place. There's little to no religion there at all. And that's just within about 3 mile radius of the school itself. So you can see by that the great need to get out into that community with the gospel, and then the responsibility that is on us to get out there. And of course you have all the traditional beliefs as well, the animistic beliefs, the spirit world, and all of those things that the Africans hold to. Many of them, even if they hold to another religion, they'll mix, they'll syncretize everything together. So there is that great need to get out there. So pray for the community. Pray for the locals also. Of course, you can't have a church without people, and you can't have a Ugandan church without the Ugandan people. So pray for the Ugandans. We would pray that the Lord would be working in the hearts of those men and women already. You think of pastors, future pastors. You think of elders and committee men that we want to fill these churches with, and even the members themselves. Pray that the Lord will direct us towards that people, and that he would be raising them up even already. So I'll leave the community there. There's a lot to pray for there already. But we can move on to the family aspect of the prayer requests. And I like to remind people, if you see the video, you'll know already there's nothing special about the Macaulays. I hope you understand that. And we need you to understand that, because there is nothing special about the family that is going. Now, we have a call to go, and we thank God for that call. That in itself is special, but that does not mean that we become any more special. It's the call that is the privilege. So pray for us, and we need the Lord's help as a family, even in this time of preparation. There's a lot to happen. But especially in the spiritual aspect, pray for us that we would grow together as a family, just spiritually. We mentioned about being lights to the people. Think of even before we learn the language, before we can preach in that language, we can live out the message that we preach before them. And so pray that the Lord, even as a family unit, would even have that light to shine from us as a family. Pray for our children as well. Of course, there is the education of the children to pray for. Rachel is going to homeschool them for a time, so you can remember her. I see Shirley smiling already. That's my gran, not my grandmother. Let's go say my grandmother. That's my kid's grandmother there. Not that old. But pray for Rachel. If you know our children, they can be a handful. And so that's just looking after them generally, and then step that up a bit and trying to teach them. That's going to be all the harder. Rachel's not a teacher. She would admit that. So she's going to need the prayers of God's people to even help homeschool. But eventually we will be sending them to the Christian school that's there. When they bed in, settle into the culture themselves, we'll send them to that school. But it's going to be both. We'll always homeschool alongside, just to keep them up to date with the curriculum here. So pray for their education, but of course pray for their salvation. As yet, of course, Eloise is 4, Arthur's 3, and little Jude here now is about 11 months old. No professions of faith. And so pray for them as they go out there, that this experience of going to the mission field, that it would only be a help to them to see Christ, our Saviour, and that they would accept Christ as their Saviour as well. And even that we're putting the prayer point out there that God would just move in their hearts to make them even better and greater servants of the Lord than their parents even, that they would see that great need for the mission field, and that even we would be willing to send them out as well. So pray for them, please. And just pray for us as we come to the time where we need to leave. We're trying not to think of that airport experience just yet, but it is coming. It's inevitable, God willing, that that's coming. So pray for the family, pray for all of us, the ones we leave behind, the ones who will go. And then pray for all just all the practical things, just the getting rid of all the stuff that we've accumulated over these years, where to put it and what to do with it, all of that practical side of things as well. So there's many prayer requests concerning our families. Then pray for the extended family that I like to call, and that is the team. We go to Uganda, we're already joining an already existing team. So pray that they would be receptive of us as we go out there. Pray that there's going to be unity in that team especially. That's the key point with the team as we go around with deputations. Pray for unity. We understand even in our home setting, the devil would love to just come in and disrupt the unity of God's people. We know that happens even within churches, and that can happen within a team, and it can destroy a team, and it can destroy the ministry as others look on. We want to be, again, that light, and so one way that we can be that light is through how we work together as a team. So pray concerning that. Pray for the Kerskadens and Miss Noreen McAfee and their respective families as well. Of course, they are busy out there in the ministries already, so anything I've been saying, you can pray concerning them as well. But pray for those ministries, just to mention a few. You think of, well, any ministry you can be involved in here really is going on out there. The Sunday services, the open airs, there's the kids' work, there's the school assemblies, there's the school there and the running of that with Miss McAfee. And then there's the prison ministries as well. And so pray for all those things and the prayer meetings, there's all these ministries. And pray for Mr. Kerskadden and his wife as well. They're out there, and their priority is learning language as well. But there's just so much to do. And, of course, pray that they will get that balance. And then as we go out, we get that balance as well. So pray for all of these things. I trust that you'll, even if you don't remember all of them, that you'll take one or two of them in your hearts. We really need the prayers of God's people for you to hold the ropes. We can't go without it. And that's really the key to these deputations, just garnering that support, especially in that prayerful sense. The last question, I guess, that people ask just before I go to God's word is, when are we going? And that the answer to that is, in God's will, of course, in August. So August is kind of the idea that we have. The mission board, of course, along with ourselves, would want to get us out there as soon as possible to get involved in the work. But there is a few things standing in our way. One of those things is, of course, the deputation meetings. I'm about halfway, just over 30 deputation meetings, with about another 20-something to go. There's 60 in all, so we're getting there. And I have to say, I have been encouraged by the deputation meetings, and I do not take them for granted. yes, there's the physical strain, there's the tiredness, and there's the repetitiveness of the deputation meetings. I'm sure you understand that. But generally speaking, it has been a privilege for me just to go around the churches and see the people just getting behind us. That's been a blessing for us as a family. So again, just as we do these deputation meetings, pray that the Lord will just strengthen us and keep us going on and keeping us even fresh in these meetings as we go around and deputize. But then also, there is the matter of the house. I'm sure you've heard that we wouldn't actually have anywhere to live if we were to go to Uganda just now. So there is the house being built for us, and just to give you information, it has been passed. The planning permission has been asked for, and that was just passed there last week. So we can thank God answered a prayer there. So now the builders, I think, are just keen to get at it, which is good news. And then the house will be built, and God willing, then August, I think, we will be able to go. So pray concerning that. It's all in the hands of God, of course. And of course, there's the prayer cards there. We'd love you to take one of those. Do that and take as many as you want of those, and please pray. So we'll turn to God's word now, having given you all those prayer requests. And we want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 5. And we'll read to verse 10. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord God, once again, we are a thankful people. Here as a band of believers, we're able to come here tonight, and we're coming now to the Word. And Lord, we're thankful for the Word. We're thankful for how we have even read of Christ already, the one who is our life. And Lord, we're thankful that you have united yourself to us tonight. We know what it is to have sins forgiven. We know what it is to be delivered from sin and death. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can come even in this way and just give our thanks to thee, even through prayer. Lord, we pray that you would give of your Holy Spirit to even help me to speak tonight. I pray that you would encourage my heart, challenge my heart with the word, and even the people that are sitting here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just have a word in season for them, encourage them through your word. Lord, how thankful we are to have it. We recognize there are those out there who have not the word. They don't even have it in their own language. It's hard to find. Lord, we're thankful tonight. We have not that excuse. Lord, we're thinking of that responsibility then to be in it. And Lord, we're thankful tonight for that opportunity. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking about this message this week to preach on, I read an article from the Economic Times. Now, that isn't really my go-to for a devotional, just by the way, in the Economic Times, you'd understand. But I did it for this purpose, for this meeting. But the article was about the importance of looking good, right? If you want to make an impression on people and have them to treat you seriously, that article was all about, well, you need to look good in order to do that. And wrapping up this article, they said, well, pay attention to your appearance if you want others to pay attention to you. Dress well as often as possible, particularly when you must influence the situation. And you know, secularly, we understand that to be true, and especially in business. For people to make an impression in the business world, they need to check their appearance. They need to look good. And so you can understand where that's coming from the Economical Times. But this is no new thing either. You think of the 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians that we've read from here. And Paul in 2 Corinthians, he's really writing to the church at Corinth here because there are those within the church are being deceived by false prophets or false teachers that are coming in to deceive the people within the church. And you can see that opposition even in the verses we've read. If you look at verse 8, it says, "We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are cast down." So these things are all as a result of people coming in and putting themselves up against the gospel, putting themselves up against Paul. And they're trying to even discredit Paul himself and therefore the gospel. But if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you can see here, I guess, the lowest that these false prophets or false teachers go to. They even get at Paul's appearance. You look at verse 10 of chapter 10, where they say, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." So they're saying, if you listen to Paul, his speech is nothing. If you look at him, he looks like nothing. Why would you want to follow a man like Paul? And they're trying to discredit Paul in order to discredit his mission, his ministry. And I remember listening to John MacArthur one time on this here verse, and he said this: if you're a great speaker, or if you're not a great speaker, but you look good, at least people don't mind looking at you. But if you're not that good looking and you can speak, at least they don't mind listening to you. But if you're both ugly and can't speak, then you've really got nothing to offer. Now that might sound harsh, but it is kind of true at the same time. And you don't have to tell me where I fit into that. You can keep it to yourself. But that's what people are saying here about Paul. He looks like nothing. He sounds like nothing. Why would you want to follow him? Because these false teachers that were coming in, they were all about the outward appearance. It was all about the oratory skills. It was all about how you looked as you sought to teach. So how does Paul then combat this criticism? Does he give in to this pressure to conform or to change his appearance? Well, quite simply, not at all. It's quite the opposite, actually. Paul does agree with them. He says, "You're right." In fact, if you turn to Ephesians 3, you don't have to turn to it, but you'll know there Paul classifies himself as the least of all the saints. And in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he classifies himself as the worst of the worst, the chief of sinners. So you can see clearly Paul does not have a high opinion of himself. And even in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 7, we've read there that he describes not only himself, but all of us as believers as just earthen vessels, just clay pots. It's not a fancy description at all. So with this recognition then, with Paul seeing himself really as nothing, let me say this as well. Paul doesn't just roll over and take the criticism as if to say, well, you're right. I am like nothing, and then he just leaves it there. With the recognition that we are just earthen vessels, clay pots, Paul then goes on to let the people know where exactly he does get his power from. And that is, his power is of God. He says, "I am weak, I am the least of all the saints, but God." And that's really where all of us should get to as believers. And you think of Ephesians chapter 2, we're dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy. It's the same for us as believers. We're weak. We could all classify ourselves in the least of all the saints, but God, and that's where we all should be. You think of these people who love the appearance of things. What good is it to look good and sound good if you don't have the Lord? And that's Paul's point for these false teachers. You may sound good, you may look good at the same time, but you don't have the Lord on your side. And that is what makes the difference in my ministry. So what I want to do really is just for a few more minutes tonight is just to think a little bit further on what we are as these earthen vessels. And not only what we are as earthen vessels, but we want to think of as well what we should possess within this vessel. What is it we possess as believers within these vessels? So first of all, what are we? We are these earthen vessels. What is that? Well, we've intimated at it already. That's just a clay pot. And if you think of biblical times, the purpose of these clay pots, they were readily available. They were just cheap pots, right? So if you broke your clay pot, you weren't that upset about it. You could just make another one or buy another one. The point is, they held little to no value in and of themselves. And so Paul, likening the believer to an earthen vessel, is simply just saying, when it comes down to it, the value you possess as a believer is not in yourself. It's not in the vessel. Now, that is countercultural. You think of how countercultural that message is. And it was a countercultural in Paul's day as well. It's always been, because what has fallen man been obsessed with since the beginning? Self. It's all about self. You know, we have these sayings today, well, we don't have, thankfully, but the world has them. You are enough. Or be the best version of you. That's one that really cracks me up. But love yourself. All of those kind of sentiments. And while they may crack you up and drive you mad at times, it is, in fact, sad. They're sad sentiments, because the sad reality is that people do live by these rules. And how they go through life is they try to fill their vessels with what will make them happy, trying to find their own purpose in life and find their own fulfillment, only to find that in the end of the day, they're still empty. They cannot find satisfaction. People are crying out in the world today for worth and for value. They do want to be filled, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. They're looking at themselves. And so I guess the point for us as believers is that we come in then and we point them to the person where they can find that fulfillment and they can find purpose. And that, of course, is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so there's the importance of the gospel message. People out there want to be filled with something, but if they don't have Christ, they have nothing. They're empty pots. So the gospel must reach out to them. But we must fix our eyes upon Christ, and we ask ourselves, well, as we see Christ and he converts the soul, as we're saved, what's the purpose then for us who are saved? Well, that purpose is that we be filled with the treasure that is the light of the gospel. That's what we find there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we are to be filled with that treasure. To what end? It is that the light would shine through us to a lost world. And ultimately, that the excellency, you find at the end of that verse, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, we are the vessels that shine, but it's God that gets the glory. And that's the point in this verse. I think of these verses simply just a rephrasing of the verse that we gave at the end of our video. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose is never for us to shine for the glory to be received for ourselves. It's always glory to God. That's why we are these vessels. And I'm really trying to get this message across throughout all my deputation meetings. And in some sense or another, no matter what message I preach, is always to get to this point. Because as any of us try to do something for God, and I know for me it's Uganda tonight, that's the deputation meeting, but you think of yourselves here, you have your pastor who ministers to this congregation, you have yourselves and maybe involved in God's work. But the point is, as we are busy about God's work, it's never about us. Once we start thinking like that, it's the beginning of the end, really. If we start to think it's about us, we are simply the vessels, the pot. Now, you can paint a pot to look nice. You can fix up the cracks that might appear in it. You can think as much as you want about the pot. But at the end of the day, you're just a pot like everybody else. The pot never changes, no matter how you want to paint it up. So our purpose in life and ministry, it's not for the glory of the pot. It can't be. It is always that we as vessels may bring glory to God. And that's it. And we do that by letting the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine forth. That was always God's purpose from the beginning. From Genesis right through to Revelation till today, it's always been his glory declared throughout all the earth. And how is his glory best seen? Through redemption, through the light of the gospel. So therefore, the command really is to let it shine. You know, a picture always comes to my mind, and someday I'm going to make this, I hope, or I'll buy one. But have you ever thought about a clay pot that has a big crack down it? And someone will maybe put a candle or a light in it. And once they light the candle or put on the light, the light just shines through the cracks. And I thought that's a beautiful picture of the Christian as well. Because we're not all perfect pots. None of us are perfect pots, in fact. There's cracks. Now, I heard someone say it there. I was thinking it. We're not all crackpots. That's not the point. We are cracked pots. All right. But if we're honest with ourselves, right, even while not talking pre-conversion, even post-conversion, there's still cracks appears. We're not perfect. But yet the humbling point is that God can still take pots like us and let the gospel shine through those cracks. And what a privilege that is. Bible commentator Jameson said this: God often allows the vessel to be chipped and broken, that the excellency of the treasure contained and of the power which that treasure has may be all his. God often allows the vessel to be chipped, that the excellency of his treasure might shine through. That's really what he's saying. And the more the light shines, I don't know if you've experienced it, but if you see something like this, or if you hide a torch behind your fingers and you look at it, the more light there is, the more the fingers disappear. And it's like that as us with pots. Yes, we're cracked pots, but the more the light shines, the more the pot disappears. And the glory will always go to the Lord. I hope you've experienced this in the past, but I trust that as you experience listening to good preachers, that when you listen to that preacher, you maybe get so taken in with the truth of the message that time just kind of disappears. The Spirit is just speaking to you and time does not matter anymore. You're just taken up in the moment with the truth. But in those experiences, we don't, or at least we shouldn't, go away thinking, that's a powerful preacher. What a man. That's like saying, that's some clay pot. It sounds ridiculous. Why? Because yes, the Lord spoke through that vessel. But it was never for the glory to go to the pot or the vessel. It was always to go, the excellency and the glory was always to go to the Lord, who is able to use that vessel for his glory. And that's something great for the believer. You think of how God takes us from sin and all the shame and is able to take that and mold us and then able to use us for the sake of the gospel. What a privileged position we're in. So here's the purpose of the pot. By itself, no value. The value comes from the treasure that's contained within it. And Paul here, who recognizes there are those who are against him, he says, I agree with you, I am nothing. But he doesn't even defend himself in that regard. He just agrees. He says, yes, I am nothing, but look what I have. I have within me this treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love when he goes to Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have how Paul feels, and in fact it was prayed over already tonight. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, Paul, he says to the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So again, he's just agreeing with the people. I came in fear and trembling. There's the human emotion behind what Paul is doing. But look at the final words in verse 4. I was with you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Didn't matter to Paul his appearance. It didn't matter how he spoke especially. It only mattered that he went with the Spirit in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So why do I dwell on this point in a missionary deputation meetings? Well, I hope it's obvious. And it really is that you would just get behind us and pray for us. Especially that we would be vessels fit for purpose. You'll see on the video there already that yes, we've had training with New Tribes, we've had training with Whitfield College of the Bible, we've had some small experience on the field already. And you can think of clay pots, they can be molded, shaped and baked, and you might think, well, we've been well baked, we're ready to go. But what I like to remind people is, yes, we have great privilege and we have been blessed with the training that we've had, and I wouldn't go without it. But yet the excellency of the power of God does not shine through those things. We can go with all the training, with all the experience, and still be failures on the field because we missed the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And so as these vessels, as we go to Uganda, the prayer point really is that we stick to what the truth of the gospel is and let that shine through us and let God get the glory. And the same's here for you as well. I know this is on Uganda, but here at home as well, we could be so busy about the work, and that can happen in Uganda as well. There's so much ministry to be involved in. We can get so busy in just doing that we forget this, that we're actually there for the glory of God, not just to get it done. And so this is for ourselves, this is for you here as well. Take this encouragement. You have this treasure, and therefore just let that treasure shine. But before I sit down, there is one last practical application to be made. And that is, we must not only be vessels fit for purpose, but we should be vessels that are fit for the filling. And what I mean by that is, you know, these vessels that we have, we can fill these vessels with anything and everything else but the right thing. And there's a danger in that, of course, as you imagine. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 21. It says there, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and Paul, he's been speaking about vain babblings, he's speaking about ungodliness and lusts and so on, false doctrines. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So I hope the application here is clear. Paul says, purge yourself. The point is that a vessel that is made to hold priceless treasure, that priceless treasure can be pushed out if it's already full of dirt. You get the point of the pot. A pot is there to hold things. But if that pot is full of dirt, it needs to make room for the priceless treasure. And it's really, if you think of the psalmist there and that prayer that we should have as well. Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why would we ask the Lord to search out our hearts? Why would we want the Lord to look into these pots of ours? It is that as he does so, he points out the dirt, points out the sin, and that we would therefore purge ourselves from those things, that we would be fit then for the filling of this great treasure that is the gospel of Christ. So I trust there's been something here to encourage you tonight. God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and that light has been shed abroad in our hearts through the gospel of Christ. We've experienced it ourselves. Thank God for that. But may we then be simply those vessels that would let his light shine for his glory. And I trust that will be true not only for me as I go to Uganda, but for you here as well. So I trust that there's been something here for you to take away with you tonight. Before I sit down, can I just once again thank you for those of you among you who I know have been praying for us. Thank you in the Lord's name for that. Do continue to do that. And we know prayers being answered already. And so we thank God for those answered prayers. But we need you to keep on praying. And as you do so, we pray that the Lord will bless you as well. Thank you.